Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, which is Krishna chastises serpent Kaliya, and we are, that's the chapter, and we're text 19, 20, 21, and 22. So I'll read the translation to 19 and all the way to 22. Ooh, anybody know how to put that to beat? That anyone want to help with the Sanskrit rhythm to that? Okay, keep going. Go ahead. Anta vidaya bhujagat bhoga bhavitam krishnam niriham upalabhya jalashayante gopamscha buddha dushanam paritat kushamscha Sankradhatat paramam bhashmanam apurartha. Translation. As they hurried along the path to the bank of the Jamuna River, they saw from a distance that Krishna was in the lake, motionless, within the coils of the black serpent. They further saw that the cowherd boys had fallen unconscious and that the animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. Purport. In their grief and panic, the residents of Vrindavan tried to find out whether Kaliya had forcibly dragged young Krishna from the shore into the water, or whether Krishna had jumped from the shore and fallen into the clutches of the snake. They could not understand anything about the situation, and Krishna's cowherd boys, being unconscious, were unable to tell them anything. The cows and calves were crying out for Krishna, and thus the whole situation was overwhelming and created a state of shock and panic among the residents of Vrindavan. You're on again. Gopyo Narakta Manaso Bhagavante. Translation. When the young gopis, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Lord, saw that he was now within the grips of the serpent, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances, and his talks with them. Burning with a great sorrow, they saw the entire universe as void. Again? Tat Krishna Matta Ramapatyamun of Prachistam Tuya Vyatak Samonugriya Shucha Shravantya Tasta Vraja Priya Katak Katayantya Rasan Krishna Krishna nane pritisho mitaka pratika. Translation. Although the elder gopis were feeling just as much distress as she and were pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they had to forcibly hold back Krishna's mother, whose consciousness was totally absorbed in her son. Standing like corpses with their eyes fixed upon his face, these gopis each took turns recounting the pastimes of the darling of Braja. Text 2. Krishna pranam nirvishato nanna din rikshatan hridadam pratya sedhat sabhagavan Ramakrishna Nubhavavit. Repeat, please. Krishna Prana Nirvishato. Nandini Vikshatam Hridam. Pratya Shedatsa Bhagavan. Ramakrishna Nirvishato. Krishna Prana Nirvishato. Nanini Vikshatam Vidham. Pratya Sedhatsa Bhagavan. Krishna Prana Nirvishato. Krishna Pranam. The man whose very life and soul was Krishna. Nirvishata. Entering. Nandandin. Headed by Nanda Maharaj. Viksha. Seen. Tam. That. Radham. Lake. Pratyasadat. Forbade. Saha. He. Bhagavan. The all-powerful Lord. Ramaha. Balaram. Krishna. Of Lord Krishna. Anubhava. The power. Vit. Knowing well. Translation. Lord Balaram then saw that Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who had dedicated their very lives to Krishna were beginning to enter the serpent's lake. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Balaram fully knew Lord Krishna's actual power, and therefore he restrained them. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Lord Balaram checked some of the cowherd men by speaking to them, others by physically holding them, and still others by casting upon them his potent smiling glance. Distraught over the situation, they were prepared to give up their lives for Lord Krishna by entering the serpent's lake. So here we are arriving at the bank of this lake and seeing a really pitiful scene. But it's a Vrindavan atmosphere, but in a different mood. Here, everyone is in anxiety. We don't usually think of Vrindavan as total anxiety, but this is transcendental anxiety. People are fainting, people are unconscious, the cows are crying, people are about ready to jump in the lake and lose their lives. So it's really a pitiful scene. But the Vrindavan atmosphere is totally transcendental. Lord Chaitanya, actually, wherever he went, he brought that Vrindavan atmosphere with him. Especially this intense mood of separation and of extreme love for Krishna. When he would go in, especially when he was in Vrindavan visiting, he actually was always seen running around in anxiety, wondering, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? I've lost him. So this feeling is the highest love, and it's exhibited by the gopis, and also in this form of Lord Chaitanya, of this anxiousness for Krishna, being wanting Krishna so much that they're willing to give up their lives. And this is an extreme situation here because Krishna has jumped into the lake. We know that actually they didn't quite know what had happened, but we actually can go to the Kadamba tree where Krishna has said to have jumped from, where he tightened his belt and jumped in. And then he had a plan for Kaliya to dance on his hoods and to deliver him. But here the residents are in a very perplexed situation, not knowing what's going on. It's actually described that Lord Balaram, we heard earlier that he was also smiling when he saw everyone. After the inauspicious omens, everyone was running towards the lake, but Balaram was smiling, and everyone else thought, something's wrong, something's wrong. We got to go find out what's going on with Krishna. Because he knew that Krishna, his brother, can take on anything. But here it's described that Lord Balaram is actually a little bit, anxious himself about Nanda Maharaj and the residents of some of the gopas are ready to jump in the poisonous lake and lose their lives, because he knew that Krishna could take care of the situation, but they had lost their reasoning about who Krishna was and were going to jump in. And so Balaram was thinking, now if Nanda Maharaj jumps in and Mother Yasoda doesn't become conscious, then we know that Krishna is going to end up coming out all right. Then if they die, who's going to take care of Krishna? So therefore, he held back some of the residents from jumping in, and from said also he had to talk to him, say that everything's all right, everything's all right. So Balaram is taking care of the situation here. But this is an exhibition of this attachment to Krishna that is so intense by the residents of Vrindavan. And this is what surcharges that atmosphere. And as aspiring devotees, we're all anxious to have that atmosphere wherever we go. We definitely try to make it here in the temple, and we try to take it out and have festivals like yesterday to give everyone that feeling of intense attachment to Krishna. Many people, say that, you all are just trying to live in la-la land. And we say, yes, we want to be in the land where la-la, our Krishna is, right? So this is really our endeavor as devotees, is to somehow or other figure out how to make that Vrindavan atmosphere and how to keep it there. It's not an easy thing to do. It's quite a challenge for us here in the Kali Yuga and the darkness, how to make it bright and Krishna conscious all the time. And some of our situations are such that it's even more difficult because we have jobs and we don't want to be with the people we're with and so many different things like that. So it's a real challenge for us, how to keep that Krishna prominent in our lives all the time, 24 hours a day, like here at the residence of Vrindavan. But then we kind of think, this Vrindavan atmosphere, I don't know about all this anxiety. Maybe I could do out some of that. I mean, when Krishna was leaving to go to Dwarka, the gopis were falling in front of the chariot. Some were black in the face. Some were dying. And here's all this anxiety here, and everyone's going to commit hari-kari and everything. So I don't know if I want that part of it. It seems like it's very painful. But the pure devotee understands that pain is actually the highest pleasure. And someone like ourselves, not quite on that level, sees it as a different way, I don't know about that part. A little too intense for me. But Srila Prabhupada, he took on so much transcendental anxiety, and that became his pleasure. He was in Vrindavan before coming to the West, and you know, if those who went to Vrindavan a long time ago, especially when he was there, just saints and sages roaming the streets, everyone chanting the holy names. It's written on all the trees. There was no real communication with the outside world so much. Maybe there'd be one little teeny boob tube, you know, but it was all in place, stuff about Krishna. And there was not much economic concern. He didn't have a lot of bills. He didn't have a lot of worries. He was in the most holy place, surrounded by wonderful sound vibration, fixing his mind on Krishna. But then the order of his spiritual master became heavy on his heart, and he actually chose to leave that Vrindavan atmosphere, which was so pleasurable, and to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master and that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is to spread the holy name everywhere, to try to bring this atmosphere to the whole entire world. And from the very beginning, we all know the story of what tribulations he went through. Even just to get the visa was a big headache, and to get the passage, and you know, the whole story was very, very intense. And but he took that on, and because he took that on, he was always a little fearful of the most fearful thing was that, who's going to listen to me? Is anyone really going to listen to me after all this trouble going there? And I go there and I try to give the message of Krishna, and no one will listen. And so all that endeavor, all that anxiety is for nothing. So, but he did it, and he was always, you know, had a plea to Krishna to please help. I don't feel that I can do this on my own. And so therefore Krishna reciprocated. And that reciprocation is where that pleasure comes from. As one becomes more dependent on the Lord, and Krishna has to come. And his pure devotee is needing him, so he comes. And therefore that bhakti, that reciprocation comes, and that pleasure unfolds. And the anxiety becomes pleasure. So it's a transcendental pleasure. And so this reciprocation also empowers one to do even more and more service, which gives more pleasure to the spiritual master. And so it's a continuously snowballing effect that one becomes more and more Krishna conscious as anxiety increases, actually. And we saw that in the movement, the anxiety of spreading this movement got more intense and more intense. And then in the line of the same mood of the other acharyas, then Srila Prabhupada took the burden and gave it to us. And we found that we also became anxiety about spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission. And that becomes our pleasure, right? We're constantly thinking how we can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And so that he transferred that anxiety to us, just as Bhaktisiddhanta transferred the anxiety to Srila Prabhupada, said, you must go to the West and spread this movement. And so Prabhupada also said that you must spread this in every nook and corner of the world. I know that when I came to the movement, I was traveling looking for peace and happiness, no anxiety, no bills, just love and everything. And so then I heard that there was these people that rang bells and lived in a monastery, and I was picturing the ideal situation to fulfill all my happiness desires. And so I came to the, the devotees found me, and I immediately joined. And then day number one, can you make these garlands? We're really in a hurry. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you polish the brass? Can you? And we have to go on Sankata. Can we use your van? We don't have a car. Can you drive us to Denver? And oh, by the way, can we? And then it started, right? You found out you had a schedule, and you had duties, you had responsibility, and you had to help here, and you had help there, and you had help there. And oh yes, and we're going to spend the moment, and we're going to go here, and the anxiety started, right? But that was the pleasure. That was our pleasure, and it's still our pleasure. And I can't imagine not having some project in the mind, some anxiety, you know, that I'm going to be doing next for Krishna. It wouldn't be any fun. Here, the residents of Vrindavan are seeming like they're in anxiety, running Krishna. Oh my gosh, I gotta help, you know. But this is their pleasure. And so we found that this anxiety is very healthy spiritually for us to take on some responsibility to Krishna. And Prabhupada, it kept giving it to us, right? What do you say? 14 volumes in how many months? Right, so he was part of that whole anxiety program, right? Right, it's unlimited. And then all the Sankirtan devotees remember, double it after you've been working so hard, you know, stretching and going out and doing the books, and double it. And we go, oh my gosh, we got to double, you know. So these were some of the anxieties, and sometimes he would say, build Mayapur. Do you think Ambarish is in anxiety? He got that instruction, you know. So these become our heart and our soul. This becomes our aspiration to fulfill our spiritual master's desire. And it won't stop. It'll continue. We'll find more and more things that we can offer to Krishna. Because this is the pleasure. It's because it's our offering to Krishna, whatever we're doing. Even the anxiety of raising kids for Krishna consciousness, you know, having schools for Krishna consciousness, just maintaining a family for Krishna is difficult these days. But this is our offering to Krishna, to our spiritual master. And then we get rewarded. It's not that we go unrewarded. And that's the bliss, that's the shakti of bhakti, is that we receive that connection to Krishna. Yoga means connection. And that's why bhakti yoga, it's an active meditation. We're constantly busy for Krishna, but we're constantly connecting to Krishna in all of our activities. And that's 24 hours a day, Prabhupada said. And I don't know if anyone else has been a pujari and found out that when you're sleeping, you're in anxiety. You have these dreams. Oh my gosh, you know, I forgot I was supposed to dress the deities, or I've been waking up so many times. I've woken up and thought, oh my gosh, and then nothing was ready on time. They're going to open the curtains, and you didn't even know where the wig was. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. So, this is what happens when you become a devotee, is that you become Krishnaized in your wake and your sleep. You're always thinking of Krishna, what to do for Krishna, And then also, when you're sleeping, you're thinking about Krishna. Not always anxiety dreams. There's good dreams, too, about what I'm going to do for Krishna next. So this is the potency of Krishna consciousness. And it's actually, all it is what Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, is just take up this process of surrender. And so that's what we do. We sacrifice a few things. And ultimately, we've sacrificed this lifetime. And what happens is that we begin to get more connected to Krishna. And we begin to experience that pleasure. Somehow or other, Krishna just opens up a flood of pleasure that surpasses any other kind of pleasure that we've ever had. And he opens it up very quickly when you first join. Somehow or other, he just gives you a big wave of pleasure that makes even dishwashing fun, you know? It really happens. And then it keeps going. The flood keeps getting, you know, stronger and stronger as we surrender. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I'll reward you accordingly. And we find that that's true. The more we do things for Krishna, the more we mark off our desires, our big long list of things we want to do for ourselves, and we just think of the things that we want to do for Krishna, then the more he rewards us. And that's the pleasure that keeps us here all the time. It's like magic, but it's a Vrindavan atmosphere that is what makes it that way. That mood of surrender, of becoming anxious for Krishna. And so we have to find opportunities all the time to really take up that mood of surrender. And then we'll see that that it's worth it. Giving up, you know, a little extra sleep or giving up a little extra energy and even taking more anxiety on. Just like doing this whole thing, you see the signs out on the front of the property, getting this special permission on the temple property to do more for Krishna. Great anxiety, you know. Now they're saying you can come, you can give all your complaints this night here. If you don't like those Hare Krishnas, this is the time to give it. We have to hear it all. I mean, there's so much anxiety to get to this planning development, it's called. But it's nice. And so what we do is we just have to keep injecting Krishna in the atmosphere. And it's like magic. You become transcendentally intoxicated. I was recently part of a program that went down to Costa Rica. We took Krishna's kitchen, literally took the kitchen, stoves, pots, everything on the airplane and everything down to Costa Rica. We had to take mung beans, you know, when they opened them up at the airport and said, these are seeds, you can't take them. And you know, we had to take our chickpea flour. We had to take spoons and, I mean, everything. We had to take a whole kitchen to Costa Rica. We were in the van driving, completely smashed in this van, you know, like eight of us with all the whole kitchen. And it took much longer from the airport to get to where we were going. It took like 6 hours instead of 3 hours. And so the anxiety was getting heavier and heavier, but, you know, okay, this is Krishna's mission, you know, we got to go give out prasadam, you know. And so then it got, you know, like the scenery got a little boring after a while, and so I said, hey, let's play a game. And so I said, all right, I'm thinking of a name of Krishna that starts with H. No. Anybody else? No. Nope. Nope. Hurry. Okay, that's the one. See? So we started playing that game, and it completely, like, transformed the atmosphere. And then we played that for quite a while, and then I said, okay, there's another game, because we realized it was going to be even longer than we thought. So then we played another game, and I said, okay, I'm going to think of a mundane word, and you have to give a one-minute talk, totally Krishna-conscious talk about the mundane word. And so I'd say, okay, tree. And so then someone would say, oh, well, Kulpa Vriksha tree and this and that and that. And so, okay, and then we go on. And it completely transformed the atmosphere. It was like a Vrindavan atmosphere. And we forgot all what was around us, what was happening. And it was like magic. We were transferred to Vrindavan and to Krishna. And so this is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. We become expert in transforming everything to Krishna katha. Srila Prabhupada was expert. You can hear so many morning walks, and he can see something as mundane as bird stool and completely give a lecture about it, and you'll never forget it your whole life, you know, when we still talk about that lecture, you know. Or he, you know, someone will mention some mundane thing about this or that or that sign, and all of a sudden he'll give a whole, you know, a whole explanation of how in your heart this and that, and completely transformed to a very Krishna-conscious memory. So this is, you know, the art that Prabhupada is teaching us, how to become Krishna-conscious. I just received an email from Nandini Kishore. I wish she was here because I didn't memorize the email, but it was from a girl that had gotten a book at the St. Augustine Rathiatra a week ago. And she didn't read it? Anyway, it was, she got this letter and she was expressing how that she thought that Rathiyat, that whole celebration was just for her. She said she felt that was for her consciousness. She just needed it. It was like someone had sent it because it completely transformed her life. She got that book. She saw the deities. She just was like overwhelmed by that little festival we had in St. Augustine. So that is the potency that Srila Prabhupada has given us to do. It's a lot of anxiety to put these festivals on. We have 6 more to be in anxiety about. But just see the effect that person's life has now been transformed. And I guarantee she'll become a devotee. You know, she's going to want more books. She's going to want to know more. And she'll come here. Or we should go to her. You know, even better. We should go to her. And so this is the wonderful life of Krishna consciousness. And this lifetime is very different. And it should be completely different from any other lifetime that we've ever had. The second and third generation now, they've got it easy. They're jumping right in to this Krishna conscious movement. Everything is just rolling, and they can just step into that atmosphere. And hopefully they'll keep it going very strong. We have it a little harder. We got a lot of ghosts in our closet from our other previous nonsense in this lifetime and other lifetimes. But we have the second, third generation. We're praying that you all keep it going. Your trunk is full of wonderful memories of summer festivals, of the festival yesterday, and all the different prasadam here and there, and the different trips to Mexico, and preaching here, and Rathiyatra here. So please be intelligent and don't choose to step out of this Vrindavan atmosphere. Please, we're begging you as Prabhupada's disciples to make this Vrindavan atmosphere even stronger. Use your intelligence, use your everything, use your lifetime to make it Vrindavan for the future of this of the whole world. And then we can see that our pleasure will simply increase by trying to increase this movement. And it definitely does. This pleasure surpasses any other pleasure. There's a very nice book that was given to me as a gift. It's called the Gopal Sahasranam. And it explains on the back just a little note about what kind of pleasure we get from reading the 1,000 names of Gopal. When one reads or chants these 1,000 names of Lord Gopal, within a short space of time, he hears about so many of his pastimes and qualities, as well as his bodily characteristics. It's like going on a quick guided tour of the spiritual world. This translation by Kushikrata Prabhu provides us with his trademark poetic genius so that our reading will be nothing short of pure pleasure. And so it does. Everything becomes total pleasure. I'm going to read a couple little verses because you can see the pleasure of Lord Shiva saying these verses. They're done in a way that they kind of are tricky to, fun to read, and they're all different names of Krishna. Here's a couple of them. Krishna Kamala Pratrakshaha, Krishna Kamala Lochana, Krishna Kami Sada Krishna Samasta Priya Karakaha. He is all attractive. His eyes are lotus petals. He is dark. His eyes are lotus flowers. He is the source of all transcendental bliss. He is the fulfiller of all desires. He is Lord Krishna eternally. He pleases everyone. Another one. Nando Nandi Mahanandi Madi Madanaka Kili Mili Hili Hili Goli Golo Golalayo Guli. He is full of transcendental bliss. He enjoys pastimes, meets his devotees, dances, eats, protects the cows, resides in Goloka, and protects his devotees. So this is the pleasure we get from reading the 1,000 names of Krishna. So this is what we aspire for, to be totally immersed in all the things that we do. It goes on and on. They're really, really fun to read. And so this is our fun. This is our fun. Even the anxieties are fun. Everything is totally Krishna conscious. So even like yesterday, or the day before when we're getting ready for the festival, there are people making the holy thing and making the bonfire and someone over here doing this and then cut up in the kitchen and getting the parking lot ready and everything. It was a Vrindavan atmosphere. And these festivals are meant to do that, to bring us all together so that we can all experience it together. And that heightens our realizations and our faith. Because we have to have that strong faith that this is the pleasure I want. We're trying to be convinced that we want the pleasure out there. And sometimes our faith breaks and we think, oh yes, I can. I can just do that and I'll enjoy. But we have to come to these festivals. We have to come together and do service together. And that will increase our faith so that we understand that real satisfaction is in doing service, is in this bhakti yoga, in this Vrindavan atmosphere. And we can see the transformation just by Lord Chaitanya's gift of giving us the holy name. That's what helps us transform. Just chanting the holy names and glorifying Krishna. Just like I walked in the kitchen yesterday, and it was early in the morning, there was a few people that had volunteered to cut up while everyone was chanting japa, and I went in there and it was like quiet. And then finally someone said, can't we get a vibration in here? And immediately turned on the, you know, the a tape of Krishna or something. And immediately the whole atmosphere changed. Everyone was like, oh yeah, didn't mind being in there. And it completely transformed. So we have to make sure that we're always injecting the holy name in all of our services and everything we do. And experience, get blown away by this flood of nectar of serving Krishna. And then take it out to others. And that even increases the pleasure. So maybe someone else has something to say? Yes, sir.
I just have a comment. I went out on Sankirtan yesterday, you know, being at a holy day, a nice day to go out on Sankirtan, but I didn't really want to go. I was tired and my knee hurt, and I wanted to stay for that Abhishek. But I said, now do this, it's important. You know, so I went out and I went down to Orlando in the mall. And one of the first ladies I met was a British lady, maybe 50, kind of big, and she was moving fast, and I handed her a lollipop. And she said, I'm so sorry, I'm sick, I have to go to the toilet. And I said, okay. So she ran off. Now, I was in that mall for an hour and a half doing Sankirtan, and about an hour and a half later, we came around the corner and sort of came to each other, and she was with her whole family. And she said, there he is, he saved my life. And I said, what? And she said, you handed me that lollipop. I went into the toilet and I fainted. She passed out on the floor. And she said when she woke up, she couldn't breathe, but she had a lollipop in her hand and she put it in her mouth. And she said, that lollipop saved my life. And I said, you don't have any idea. And her husband hugged me and then they bought a book. But it was just one of those things where I looked, I was like, Lord Chaitanya, thank you for that. I really needed some encouragement. And that never happened to me. I've been giving out lollipops for about 40 years. No one ever came back and said, that lollipop saved my life. And the family's there going, yeah, thanks for saving my mom. So I was in anxiety because the cops were chasing me around the mall. But I was thinking, I got it, because you run out of books and you go back to the car and you get more books. I was in and out about four times, which is a long time in the outlet mall down there.
Yeah.
And these guys are looking for me. But when that happened, I was like, wow, what a nice thing. So I just wanted to share that, you know, because when you get an anxiety for your service, and then you just go, I'm doing it anyway, I don't care. You know, because if you didn't have that, at least with me, if I didn't have that attitude, I don't know if I could just do that, you know, just go into a mall and illegally distribute books. But anyway.
Yeah, to relieve Prabhupada's anxiety of spreading this movement, we did some things that we normally definitely would not have done. Yes.
Thank you so much. You as a Srila Prabhupada disciple, you prepare everything for us like that, you know. We got everything made already. And I thank Srila Prabhupada to come to give us, you know, his beautiful home. And I realized really after many years in the movement and serving Srila Prabhupada disciple, like I served Sidya when he was passing away, I realized really, really that it's very important to serve you guys because you make You make the path ready for us by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And by serving Srila Prabhupada's disciple, we get more joy, more encouragement. And now it's our turn to give you and to give to Srila Prabhupada what you give us. So we have to be together. When I see this beautiful festival like yesterday, Srila Prabhupada is so... I was talking to a devotee. I was explaining Srila Prabhupada did something like Jesus Christ. I cannot say because Srila Prabhupada did not want to hear his disciples say, oh, you did better than Jesus Christ. No, Srila Prabhupada was very humble. He said, no, I will say like Jesus Christ, but I will not say more. But Srila Prabhupada did something so beautiful, bring such a beautiful home. Or we can describe Krishna consciousness in different way. A beautiful home or the spaceship to Goloka Vrindavan. So we should not jump. That's like I was explaining to one of the devotees. I say, don't never go back. Go forward. Spiritual life is moving on. We should not stay stagnant or go back to what we used to do. We got to move on. Spiritual life is growing all the time. It's like the physical body grow all the time. Spiritually, we have to grow. We cannot stand. Because we never know. We never know when death can come. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm a Krishna devotee. I chant Hare Krishna. death will not come to me right away. No. Death come to anybody. Kamis, young, old, black, white. So we always get to grow spiritually. And I got so much realization about always be absorbing in Krishna consciousness. When we go to sleep, we always get to listen to kirtan. You get up, listen to class. And in daytime, do some association with devotees, service. Always, Srila Prabhupada said, there was not one time in his life he was not Krishna consciousness. He was always absorbing. So the way to be absorbing all the time in the night, put kirtan. Because we never know we can leave our body in the night time too. So we always have to be. But I really thanks you guys, you know.
So we all should contribute to this Vrindavan atmosphere in whatever way we can.
Yes. Thank you.
You want to say something?
Distribution, and I was, of course, I pride that I like to keep the original volumes of the books around, and sometimes I'm not so fortunate to have the original, but I do have a copy of, the year after Prabhupada passed away, and I was noticing that the first volumes are, 20,000, printed, and then, like, I'm on the 10th, the second volume of the 10th canto, and there's 50,000 printed. So you just see, how Prabhupada was so successful because he actually empowered us to do the impossible. So, of course, I'm praying that he can empower all of us and we can triple it, as Prabhupada wanted, because it's not impossible. As Prabhupada always pushed that impossibles in the fool's dictionary.
Right. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.